Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dara Gray Tynefield, Associate Director, Game Developers Conference.
Good morning. Welcome to the San Jose Civic Auditorium and the Game Developers Conference 2000. When we were planning this conference, we got a little nostalgic, thinking about that this all began 14 years ago with a few individuals in someone's living room, and has now grown to over 10,000 attendees of the world's most premier game developers. The theme for this year's conference invites you to take a place in game history. For everyone in this room, all of you watching on simulcast, and everyone involved in the Game Developers Conference, I think that's about to happen. The history of the GDC is filled with milestones and announcements that has changed the course of our industry. This is the place where you come to exchange ideas and create the most popular entertainment form of the century. This is an amazing time to be a part of games, and we're just getting started. A not so small indication that our industry has emerged as the most dominant entertainment form to be adopted by the world was when Bill Gates accepted our invitation to do today's opening keynote address. As you can imagine, there are many people you have to thank when you secure the attention of the leading worldwide provider of software for the PC. But above all the people that we have to thank, there is one group that is more important than everyone, and that is the game developers. For your talent, for your creativity, for your imagination, Mr. Gates is here to see you. It is an honor to introduce Bill Gates, Chairman and Chief Software Architect, Microsoft Corporation.
Well, good morning. It's very exciting to be here today and have the opportunity to announce a whole new platform, a platform that all of you are going to take in directions that we can't even imagine. The software industry has been built on having these wonderful platforms. It goes back to the original kit computers that hobbyists would get together and think about what software could they build for that machine. And we've had a lot of great milestones. MS-DOS, graphical interface with Macintosh and Windows. And now we have all these machines connected across the internet. We're thinking about a broadband world with digital music, digital video. And the empowerment that comes out of this is going to be amazing. But one key element that is crucial is making it fun, making sure people are entertained by what they do. Well, Microsoft has been involved in this. I thought I'd bring up and remind you that well, this audience has a good memory. That's a 1980 game offering, actually created by Tim Smith, published by Microsoft, and ran on the Apple II, did very well, sold 80,000 copies. And the graphics was so amazing that we weren't sure people would know that was a foam pit, so we put right on there, foam pit. And we think in the future that won't be necessary. So games are really coming into their own. Now, Microsoft's vision is a very broad and ambitious one. It's about empowerment. And historically, that vision was very centered around the PC. We love the PC. The PC is growing. It's getting better and better, and I'll be talking about that today. But the PC won't be the only device that people are using to get onto the internet and to be entertained. There'll be new devices in the living room. There'll be devices in your pocket, the cell phone with the screen. that'll let you get the latest information, whether it's messages or schedules or travel information. There'll be a computer in your car. There'll be tablet-type devices that will be readable enough that you can think of them as electronic books and just as good as reading off paper. So all those devices will be out there. Our goal is to create a platform that allows wonderful applications to be built for all of them. And in fact, in many ways, those devices need to work together. If you have preferences, if you have communications, you don't want to have to manually move that data around. You want that to happen just automatically because of the platform. And so Microsoft's vision statement talks about great software anytime, any place, and on any device. And so the announcements we're making today really fit into that any device type vision. Now, if we look at the game market over the last few years, the growth has actually been pretty impressive. This is U.S. game software sales. And what I did is I put together both console sales and PC sales. Both of those have been growing pretty healthily. In the past, the game consoles, things will tend to have ups and downs, but the basic trend line is up, where the PC line has been just a steady growth over the years. Now, we believe that this reflects the fact that the games are getting better and better. And even the definition of what you think of as a game is going to become a lot broader. If you can educate somebody while you're entertaining them, we don't think that's such a bad thing. If you can let them get out to the internet and get the latest information and somehow involve that in the game, that would also be a wonderful thing. So the whole notion of what are the game categories is going to expand quite a bit as the platforms enable new things. If you think of the different categories, the Windows platform has been strong for the intellectual, personal-type games, role-playing type games. The consoles have been very strong, where you just sit down on your couch and have a very visceral social experience. And both platforms have been strong for the action and adventure type games. These categories will expand, and every one of them, we think, is going to be very, very strong. Now, what does it take to get gaming to its full potential? You know, what kind of platform would allow the business to, say, be four or five times as big as it is today? We've spent a lot of time, particularly in the last year, going out and talking with game developers, trying to understand their dreams. What would they like to see? You know, on the artistic side, where do graphics need to go? What do they want to see to get the emotion and personality in there? What kind of tools would be helpful? We found that audio is a very key issue for developers. That's something that really was clear and something we're now giving a lot of attention to. Game developers want to have an immersive experience where you can just really be involved in the game and have the game have a depth and richness that goes on and on. And that's one area we think the internet can come in a big way. Have the games being adaptive, bringing in other players. We've seen online gaming really explode. And we expect that a high percentage of games will have that online component. So there's plenty of room to do a great job. Now I want to focus on two things this morning. They all fit under this theme, the power of X. X, of course, standing for DirectX, and something else I'll mention later. It's a secret. It's a very deep secret. But first, for DirectX, we are very committed to continue to evolve Windows as a great game platform. And one of the great things about the Windows hardware is that every year it gets better and better. In the sense of trying out, you know, how can you use speech synthesis? How can you use speech recognition? How can you use a visual camera that recognizes what the game player is doing? Those kind of breakthrough advances in gaming will absolutely come on the PC, because the PC hardware evolves continuously. You know, we're seeing now the capacity of the disk, the percentage of broadband connections, really are creating a lot more headroom here. So whether it's the internet or just connecting up people in the home, PC gaming will tackle the new frontiers. There's a wide range of tools, and there's a real benefit that you have the PC development environment and the customer's environment are one and the same. Now, as we've been in touch with PC game developers, we get a lot of feedback, you know, making the installation easier, making sure that it always comes up. You know, we go through and talk with game developers about their support costs, and they are much higher on the PC, and so we're tackling that, and I think we've made a lot of progress, but there's still quite a bit that we can do. The PC also brings the challenge that you have this variety of hardware, and we attempt through the Windows platform to hide those differences as much as we possibly can. That's what DirectX has really been all about, and it's gone through many generations. In fact, the generation that's out today, DirectX 7, is incredibly successful, and now we're on the verge of coming out with DirectX 8. DirectX 8 will have some things that are really quite amazing. Every time we improve the basics, which have to do with the ease of installation and addressing all the devices, and we bring in rich new functionality. For DirectX 8, we've got Direct Music, and so this is the ability to synthesize music interactively. We make it very easy to do audio scripting, and you know, we're striving to be at the level of motion picture quality. Direct Play is a pretty dramatic advance here because we have Direct Play Voice. So as you're playing across the internet, you can talk to different people, and we abstract out the different microphones that different PCs have. We expect that all PCs over the next few years will have very high-quality microphones. We think getting voice into that experience will be pretty important. Over time, we also expect a camera to be a standard part of the PC, and I really expect some people to start doing some neat things with that, and we'll make sure DirectX abstracts out whatever variety there is. We're also moving to new levels in terms of the graphics, the real-time photorealism, and this is where we bring in programmable shaders that let you get at some of those new hardware accelerations. So a lot of activity in PC games, and a lot still that can be done. I wanted to demo a few hot PC games. In fact, I thought this would be my chance to finally show people how good I am at this new popular game. Of course, what I mean is, who wants to be a millionaire? I think I'm going to win that game one of these times. It's going to be big. But in fact, we didn't pick that one. We picked a few others. And I'd like to ask Steven Guggenheimer to come out and show us some of the latest things in the world of Windows gaming.
Morning, Bill.
Morning,
how are you?
Steve.
Well, we didn't bring the millionaire game along, but we've got a few others. Before we get started, one of the things, as you talked about, was DirectX. It's always great to see how people are putting DirectX to use. So what I'd like to do first is show a video of one of the most talked about titles for next year, Black and White, by Peter Molyneux, and let him talk a little about what he's doing with it. We want to thank Peter for taking the time to put that together and show what he's working on. Now, one more real quick since we've got the videos going. The guys from Digital Anvil have been working on a new title for next year, Freelancer, and they've got another quite hot-looking video to take a look at. So why don't we bring that up real quick. Okay, well, I think in terms of multiplayer, multi-screen, graphics phenomenal, it's easy to take a look at. And you can imagine, you know, getting this online in a couple of years and 1,000 people in the same universe going toe-to-toe.
I would have loved to have seen your face as you got blown up there.
that's probably something a lot of people would have want to see over time. So I think it brings up a good point. Why don't we bring up the last machine? And what I want to do is the guys in research have actually been working on that capability. What I have here is something from our research division on face modeling. What it allows me to do is to use any ordinary camera hooked into the computer to take a model of my face or anyone's face, and from that create a three-dimensional image. In fact, Bill, we took a little video of your face earlier this week, so let's show how we put this together. First thing we do is we just take a very straightforward video of someone looking from left to right. He does that well. And then what we do is we take two images from that video and mark 5 points on the face. And you may not see the fifth one, but it's on the nose. So there's 5 points off of two images. And from that, we can actually go and reconstruct a 3D model. And so we're creating the skin, the overlap. So now we actually have all the references for a 3D model. And if we show the 3D face, what we have is three-dimensional Bill. So this is Bill as the fighter pilot now. And we have the ability to control it for emotion. So for example, if that was Bill shooting me down, and this is probably if I had been shooting Bill down, and if we just happen to be playing bridge, he could be thinking about it. Now, of course, because we're in space, gravity, we might not be used to the G-forces there and there, so we can actually deal a little bit with the deformation, and that could be E.T. Bill. We'll go ahead and put it back, we'll reset. Now we can add things to it, so in this case, we can add your glasses if we wanted. I was thinking for next time we might put an earring on, go all the way out. One last thing, I know a lot of people ask, and since we just have the chance, people ask, what's going on inside of Bill's head? You know, what do we see? Well, I thought we could take the opportunity, since this is a 3D model, to get inside of Bill's head and see what's there. So, put you back. And with that, I think you've got a pretty good idea of what people are working on.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Bill.
It'll be fun to see that personalization showing up in Windows games. Well, now let me talk about consoles. And people often, when we start talking about consoles, have a simple question for us. A Microsoft console? You know, what's this all about? And you know, we had some guys at Microsoft came and said, we should do a console. And at first we were saying, well, wow. That sounds like a real challenge. You know, could we really make a contribution? Could we do something that's over twice as good as anything out there? Could we do something that's really explosive? And so we went off and studied that. We talked to a lot of partners. We talked to a lot of game developers. And they came back and they said, yeah, there's really an opportunity because of the internet, because of leveraging some things on the PC, because of some breakthroughs, to do something that is dramatically better. Now, this is not simply taking your PC experience and putting it onto a new device. We're talking about a device here that has no boot time. You like that? No software installation. This, you know, what we're talking about here is a real console. And it took us a while to come around to saying, yes, this is absolutely necessary to drive a whole new generation of entertainment software. But as we saw the opportunity, we got very, very enthused. And so what I want to go through here is my excitement about this new product and to make it clear the incredible commitment that we have to this product. So I'm announcing the Xbox, which we're modestly titling. The modest tagline here is the future of console gaming. And so this is a device for the living room. It's a device that'll come out in fall 2001. We're here today announcing it for a simple reason. We need your best efforts to take what's in this platform and create amazing game products around it. Now, the Xbox is quite an amazing product. I want to go through a little bit here what actually is inside the box. Again, keep in mind, this is a traditional game console. It'll look great in the living room. It'll be priced like a game console. It's got the traditional software royalty model of a game console. We've got a few partners who are helping us. Intel is providing the CPU. It's a Pentium 3 product, a piece of custom work, and that'll be a processor running at over 600 megahertz. So a reasonably beefy CPU. Now, to complement that, we've got another breakthrough part, which is a graphics processor that is being provided to us using an NVIDIA design. We've been working with NVIDIA, coming up with some special requirements for this game console, and we're really pleased to have them as the partner doing the graphics chip here. The operating system will come from Microsoft, of course. It's a reasonably different kind of operating system than we've had on other devices. In the Xbox itself, it's really just the Windows 2000 kernel. It's just the very basic things that get the machine up and running and going. It's a very rich platform, so if you want to do multiplayer activities and things, you know, that all is very simple. But the actual run times, most of those come on the DVD, which is how the games are shipped. And the beauty of that is it gives the software developer incredible control over exactly what the software stack looks like. So between the software developer and the hardware, there's very, very little that could possibly slow you down or get in your way. The memory approach we've used here is a very important part of the design. We've got 64 megs of memory, and it's a unified memory approach. And it uses this DDR capability, so we have 200 megahertz of bandwidth to the memory, from the memory to the GPU and the CPU. We've heard that the audio is very important. And in fact, game consoles historically have not done a good job on audio. And so what we've got is a 64-voice capability with an i3-DL2 audio processor. Last night I was being educated about what i3-DL2 means. And you know, that's there for you to do the best audio that's ever been done in game-type products. We do have a hard disk. That's a new thing. We have a hard disk in every single unit of the Xbox. What that means is that when you design your game, you know that the hard disk is there. And so whether it's streaming audio or having add-ons that are downloaded, the hard drive is very important. And it's a DVD drive. You can stick in a DVD movie and get automatic playback. We've got the game ports. We've got Ethernet, 10 and 100 megabit connection built in. That's because we see this as a device really for the broadband internet generation. And we've also got a custom AV connector. What that allows us to do is take the incredible resolution of our graphics chip and let you get at all the new display devices that are being done. The resolution we've got in this box actually goes beyond HDTV. And so as we're seeing these new LCD projectors and wonderful display devices, this box is able to exploit all of the richness, all of the resolution that people are going to have there. Well, how do we describe the power of this graphics processor? Well, you know, they kept giving me number after number, and they're all just so impressive. But there's one number I think that really sums it up. This graphics processor can do 1 trillion operations a second. That's not a billion, it's not 10 billion, it's not 100 billion. That's 1 trillion operations a second. And that's where you can get photorealism. That's way beyond any product that exists today. In fact, this is three generations beyond the best graphics chips that are shipping inside the PC right now. It is leveraged off of the great work that's being done in the PC arena, but it is a whole new level of capability. So let's dive into that. Why is this earth-shattering performance? Well, it's a 300 megahertz clock, and we can do 467 floating point operations. So that's 140 gigaflops. The polygon throughput is really quite something. We have this notion of micropolygons, over 300 million triangles per second. If you're texturing and lighting, 150 million triangles a second. We've got a fill rate that's pretty unbelievable. If you just think of the resolution and how many times you want to update the screen every second, you have no limitation here in terms of creating movie-like experiences. And so we've really combined an amazing general-purpose processor with this specialized graphics processor. And those two things run in parallel. What's appropriate for the graphics engine, the hardware shader models, the vertex operations, all of those things are done on the graphics processor, which leaves your general-purpose CPU available to do everything else you want to do in terms of the richness of the game experience. I really want to emphasize the breakthrough nature of having a hard drive. You can't, during an interactive game, ask the player to pause while you go out to the DVD. Why you seek the DVD and read the information off of that. So it means, in terms of the richness of the scenery and the audio that you can have in one level of a game, you're really constrained by the RAM that's on that machine. And you can see that. It's a real constraint in designing these games. Well, when you put an 8 gigabyte disk drive on here, you can stream in new information interactively, so the user doesn't even notice that you're going out to get those extra capabilities. You know, it's as simple as saying, can you do audio commentary during a sports-type game and have it be appropriate to what's going on in the field? So the internet generation of games, we say, requires this disk. And it was one of the hardest decisions we had to make about Xbox. It's dramatized. There's a Wall Street Journal article that talks about a meeting where some of the Xbox guys came in and told me, we have to have it, we have to have it. And I was sitting there saying, wow, it costs money, doesn't it? But we decided that was something absolutely worth doing. We think there's going to be incredible persistent online worlds that are created because of what you can do with that disk. We think that having saved games, new levels, you know, going out to the internet to get what's new. We also think that when you're using Xbox and you think, hey, there's a new game that I've heard of, what you'll do is just connect up and get the trial version that you can download onto your hard disk and try it out. So people will buy more games because they'll be able to get that experience. And you know, it'll be easier for you to market the breakthrough games work you do because trying out those trial versions will be very, very simple. It's as easy as saying that given this disk, we think people are going to take it in directions that we don't even expect. We've seen that with every new platform we've ever come out with, and this one, I'd say, it's more true than any. So there's room to grow in some unbelievable ways. Another key point here is we're going to make it easier to do the development. You know, first and foremost, people say to us, why is Xbox going to be successful? The answer is simple. It'll have better games. That's what this business is all about. That's what the customers want, and that's what we've got to get to. We are going to make the tools for this a lot more straightforward than anything that's been seen before. You've got the familiarity of the Windows API set, the DirectX extensions where we build off of DirectX 8, the familiarity of the x86 type CPU. So there, you'll be able to share work between the PC and the Xbox. The actual disk that you ship will be different. The Xbox title will, you know, have the special authentication and things like that, but you'll be able to share the learning and the development work in a very deep way. The tools will be very broad because we draw on what we've done on Windows and some new work that we're building, and we give you headroom. Headroom in terms of storage, headroom in terms of graphics, headroom in terms of memory. Basically, you know, when you've got that 64 megs, you can use it any way that you want. It can all be textures if you want, and no limitation there. And a final point that I think is critical here is that Xbox, like the traditional game console, will be a stable platform. That is that over a period of 4 years, the Xbox will stay the same, and so that as you're building games, you'll know exactly what it is that you're targeting. Well, the best way to understand this is to see it in action. We don't have the real thing here, but we have some early work, some early prototype work that can show you how amazing this is going to be. So I'd like to ask Seamus Blackley to come out and give us a look.
Hey, Bill. So let me help you to accessorize a little
bit
here.
We don't have the box, but we do have the leather jacket, so we're ready to go.
Well, we do have one box. This is our show box.
Now, is that...
This is the box that we take to trade shows and events like this. Currently, inside it has an NVIDIA NV15 processor, which has about 10% of the final performance of the Xbox. But I can show you some examples today that really serve to illustrate and highlight some of the points you made earlier. And the reason that he did that was because he had all of the DirectX tools, all the PC tools, and well-understood architecture. He spent all of his time making the demo cool, and none of his time fighting the machine. Another great example of that is our water demo. Now, this is a little bit of a joke on the research guys, because what we did is we put a pond of water in the middle of a Microsoft research building. This demo took, I think, a day to get running. And I can't underscore the importance of that enough. This takes Xbox from being a programmer-driven console to being an artist-driven console, a design-driven console. And that's really at the heart of the entire program. What I'm going to show you now is an example of advanced lighting techniques that are possible under DirectX 8. Next thing I want to show you is a demo that we'll actually have pieces of available later on in the Microsoft booth. The final thing that I want to show is kind of an example of some of these techniques drawn together. The butterflies. In fact, the butterflies were so enthusiastic about Xbox that they took some spelling lessons. And we have this insane idea for a Japanese garden with butterflies flying all around it, and being able to execute on it and create a demo that's enormously cool. And that's really at the heart of Xbox. As I said before, we want to make it an art-driven process. We want to make it the console that says yes. It's a console designed by software engineers for software engineers. We kind of said, hey, what would we have for our ultimate console? And then we went to the hardware guys and said, gosh, you know, I think you could build that. I think we could actually do that. And it turns out they said yes, and Bill said yes, so it's all good news. The final thing that I want to show you is, I didn't want to disappoint you by not showing you a demo that was running at the full Xbox rate. And so we took a simulator, and we put a team of very talented artists on it, and we wanted to show what was possible at the kind of performance levels we're talking about, because it really does change the way things look. Let me introduce you to Carol and the Tamer.
I don't know, Seamus. For a calculator, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Now, on Xbox, we like to run what I like to call a very low bullshit operation. So I want you to understand that demo represented about 550,000 polygons, one shadowed light source similar to the one that you saw in the desktop demo, and about 51 megabytes of uncompressed texture. That represents, if you look at our spec, about a quarter of the Xbox performance. I wanted to show you something that was easily achievable on the Xbox architecture, so that in your imagination you could start to think the things that you're going to be able to do with the full performance of the Xbox architecture. And that certainly excites me a bunch. And we've been out and talking to a bunch of partners. And actually, they're very excited about it as well. And I wanted to share with you some of their reactions to our plan.
To now be able to create persistent worlds where you come back and the communities are building, that's really what excites me the most.
The Xbox is important to the future of this industry from a technology standpoint.
The design resources that we have, the knowledge of how to create gaming experiences, we can focus on that, on developing on the Xbox, instead of worrying about alternate architectures.
As a developer, it really gives you the ability to paint a much better picture because you have more tools at hand. The ability to move from this to being able to do this, the ability to animate the face, the ability to wink or nod, all is contained in the power of these hardware systems.
The graphics subsystem essentially is just something that's going to allow us to go to the next level. It's been tweaked to give developers the tools they need to make games. It's not specifically created to create great-looking specs, it's created to create great-looking games.
If we can ultimately propose these boxes to the people where they can just forget the wires, the cable, the complexity of the cart and the sound, and they can enjoy the ride of playing together, that's the ultimate mission.
それはね、この産業のさらなる発展のために大きなマーケットがさらに拡大するんですね。Xbox で頑張っていただきたいというふうに思います。ユーザーも喜ぶと思いますよ。
we're going to obviously bring our familiar hits like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater over to the Xbox and deliver an experience to the consumer with much more fluid animation, lots more polygons in the characters, special effects like motion blur and true edge anti-aliasing that we haven't been able to do before.
They're going to help the console market attract some of the very high-end PC gamers that today are playing role-playing and strategy games on their PCs, which do not translate to today's generation of consoles.
Xbox is going to benefit resellers like Best Buy by bringing our gamers the latest technology, super fast graphics, connectivity, and DVD.
Franchises like Half-Life can now be brought across onto consoles.
Well, the total retail market will benefit just because the publishers will be more aggressive in supporting their product and marketing it.
The games in people's minds have taken on new proportions. They aren't just games anymore. They are pieces of popular culture, pieces of lifestyle.
We see Xbox technology as a critical step in bringing advanced software and graphics features to digital entertainment products. There is no space more demanding than video gaming, and Xbox will deliver the ultimate in performance.
The impact on video games, the impact on storytelling, the impact on all kinds of genres of entertainment is just going to be pretty stunning.
We no longer have to worry about the limitations of technology. Instead, we can really focus on content and creating great games. The quality of the games and the experience is going to be like something never seen before.
So those guys are pretty excited, and it turns out that there's one developer in particular who's just really, really excited, and so excited, in fact, that they wanted to have one of their spokespeople actually produce a video for us. So why don't we take a look at that right now? So that was Afro Thunder from Ready to Rumble, one of the most popular games on another console. So Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks. We're very enthused about the partnership support we're getting on this box. And between now and the time the box ships, there's a lot that will roll out about what we're doing with these partners. But the key thing we're kicking off today is our appeal to the great games developers to join up and start their work. Our commitment to your success comes in many dimensions. This is something that's very, very important to Microsoft. I couldn't be more enthused about what we're pulling together here. It's the superior platform. You've heard a lot about that. It's the developer support tools, which you'll get concrete information about that. As we're building up our website information, getting those development kits out there. But as this program goes forward, we're also committed to great execution, getting the machines out there in incredible volume, and an outstanding marketing program. We put quite a budget behind this one, and we're going to break through in a very big way. And that all comes together for the big fall 01 launch. What are the next steps here? Reasonably straightforward. We want you to design superior Windows and Xbox titles. Relative to the PC, you probably already got DirectX 7, so we'd love to have you start working on DirectX 8. We've got the first beta of that coming out in April. In terms of Xbox, we'd love to hear from the people who are interested. We'll be doing a website, and there'll be continuous communication as this whole thing is coming together. So this is a huge milestone for us. It's a new platform for the industry, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to be able to do with it. Thank you.